Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From John chapter 11, beginning with verse 38. Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. The raising of Lazarus from the dead was, of course, a miracle. He had been dead for 4 days when Jesus called for him from the tomb. The miracle was another proof of the identity of Jesus as God's Son, and it caused many to believe on him. It also demonstrated that our Lord has power over death. He is the giver of life. He was capable of benevolent deeds of compassion toward mankind. Lazarus came forth and was bound with the grave clothes appropriate for burial. But upon arising, they were not appropriate for the living, and the Lord instructed that they be removed. Notice that Jesus did not remove the stone from the cave, nor the grave clothes from Lazarus. This he left for others to do. He did what they could not do, and he expected them to do what they already had the capacity for doing. And God does for people what they cannot do. But he does expect people to cooperate with him, doing what they are able to do. They removed the stone, and they assisted in the removing of the inappropriate garments from Lazarus. This principle is true respecting the spiritual realm. The saved are spiritually alive, even though they once were spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 in verse 1, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. There are some things that are characteristic of the spiritually dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Friend, it is inappropriate for the spiritual living to be clothed with the grave clothes of the spiritual dead. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 5, it teaches us to be clothed with the traits of righteousness. The redeemed are arrayed in robes of white, Revelation chapter 7, 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The Old Testament priest had holy garments to wear. In the New Testament, every Christian is a priest, and he should not be clothed with the garments of sin, but loosed from that which is characteristic of the spiritually dead. But people sometimes wear their grave clothes, and there are a number of them. We wear the grave clothes of biblical ignorance, which handicaps and hinders us from being what we ought to be. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we are urged to study that we might handle aright the word of truth. Friend, this lack of knowledge is one of the most serious problems even in the Lord's church today. We cannot mature without knowledge. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Peter added in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can resist temptation with knowledge. Jesus used the scriptures to defeat the temptations of Satan in Matthew chapter 4. Psalm 119 verse 11 tells us, Thy word have I laid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We cannot teach what we do not know. 1 Timothy 4, Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We simply cannot be easily led astray, friend, when we have biblical knowledge. But biblical ignorance cultivates the ground for apostasy. And then there are also the grave clothes of character weaknesses, such as malice and anger. In Ephesians 4 and verse 26, Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile. Selfishness is one of these grave clothes, such as was the character trait of the rich fool of Luke chapter 12, who was only concerned about himself, centered his attention on himself, even to the neglect of others, and closely akin to greediness and covetousness. Ephesians 5 and verse 3, But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 and 10 warns of materialistic attitudes and ambitions. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Other evil character traits would include dishonesty and lying, pride, egotism, jealousy, envy. Romans 12 and 17 tells us, Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Colossians 3 verse 9, Lie not one to the other, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Romans 12 and verse 3, For I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. In Titus 3 and verse 3, For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Romans 1 verse 29, Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Friend, I've read to you this array of passages to show that these are spiritual grave clothes, and they are grave clothes of character weaknesses that bind those who are out of Christ, but those who are spiritually alive in Christ. These things should not characterize us. Then there are the grave clothes of bad habits. There's the bad habit some have of profanity, evil speech, gossip. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Jesus said in Matthew 12, But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The drinking of alcoholic beverages, smoking, gambling, other similar habits, they can become a weight about the soul that will destroy. Such activities ought not be a part of the lives of those who have laid hold on spiritual life. These are the kind of things that could be expected of those who are spiritually dead, but not those who are spiritually alive. But people can also be bound by the grave clothes of human traditions. Now, this was certainly a religious problem in Jesus' day. Many were convinced to be observant of the human traditions, such as were demanded by the Pharisees, and to observe them even above the law of God. There have always been those who assume to make laws where God has not made them, just as there are those who choose to ignore what God has said, doing what God has not authorized. Men have no right to legislate for God any more than man has the right to set aside what God has legislated. What so many people have adopted as their rule is that we can do just about anything that feels acceptable to us, not realizing the necessity for authority. But religious ideas that are formed and molded and sustained and perpetuated on no higher authority than the fact that such has been done for a long time is to bind ourselves where we ought to be loosed. Many are bound with the grave clothes of unworthiness. Now, it is true that we are undeserving of the blessings of God. But at the same time, we are not to destroy a sense of self-worth and self-esteem and self-awareness and personal value. Friend, each one is worth more than the whole world, according to Jesus. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Matthew 16, verse 26. And this is true because we are created in the spiritual image of God. Galatians 1, verse 27. Matthew 22, verse 39 says, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that implies that there must be a certain degree of love for self. Love for self is a prerequisite to proper loving others. Ephesians chapter 5, 28 and 29, So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Self-esteem is vital to a husband treating his wife with respect and honor. A person that is always down on himself is like a handcuffed, tied, restricted person who is unable to function, who has lost motivation for growth and improvement. And these grave clothes should be loosed. Oh, I suppose there are other grave clothes that we might mention. But grave clothes are expected only when burial is necessary. They are appropriate for the dead, but not expected among the living. Such spiritual grave clothes ought not be a part of the existence of the spiritually alive. To persist in such things is to bind and limit and restrict ourselves from operating as a Christian must operate. We must be loosed as surely as Lazarus had been loosed. This requires a recognition that such things do not belong as a part of the Christian way of life. And once recognizing this, we must turn our attention to developing another kind of character and lifestyle. We are to put on the new man. We are to be renewed. Put off the old man, following after the image of the one who created us. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.